Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Simple question today. It is Thursday. It's our last day on air. Sal Capaccio will be on tomorrow. Vibe check heading into the AFC Championship. How you feeling? We got our first injury report yesterday. I think overall pretty good news. I think overall pretty solid.
Yeah, I would say so. It wasn't anything like, you know, it wasn't perfect, obviously, but it was better than we expected.
No, the one thing I was genuinely terrified of, and we were hanging out like right after the show, and I'm sitting there like waiting with bated breath for McDermott to start.
Yeah.
All I needed to hear was Matt Milano wasn't technically hurt. It was just hamstring soreness. And it was like, all right, moving on. Time to get lunch. Let's go. Because I mean, that was my one fear. You knew Benford would still be in concussion protocol, but he was limited, so that's good news. Mm-hmm. Deion Dawkins misses with an illness. You find that out a little bit later from the injury report. I'm not too concerned with that. It was a walkthrough. I imagine that's just more precaution of just like, hey, stay home.
Yeah. Like, just don't get anyone else sick and
to walk through.
Get better.
You've been here. You've done this. You get it. Taylor Rapp. Day-to-day, did not practice, but again, we've known he's been day-to-day. That's, I think, a good sign for him.
I think that's the key, is the fact that he's not like, oh, I don't know, like he's week-to-week. Like, that's the fact that he didn't practice, but it's only day-to-day sounds more promising.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, again, it's a walkthrough.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's not the end of the world if you miss a walkthrough. I'm not saying you should or anything, but...
But that was the one thing I was nervous about going into this was the injuries, because mm-hmm. you've been healthy the whole year. It seems like every time you play the Chiefs, you're not healthy or something else is going on. Now, right. It's good. Here we go.
It is. I do love looking at like the injury report and seeing like, oh, Greg Rousseau, why is he on there? Finger full. Oh, okay.
We are really just putting everybody like, that like talks to a trainer.
Yeah, I'm like, what did he do? Did he get a paper cut? Like, what happened there? You know? So I think... Like I said before, it's not obviously perfect, but it's probably the best case scenario that we were expecting going into this week, because you kind of knew Christian Benford was going to be limited because of concussion protocol, and same thing with Taylor Rapp, but obviously not concussion protocol, just the mm-hmm. fact that he was carted off the field with a hip injury, right? Like that alone was this kind of, you know, everyone's like, okay, hold your breath, let's see what happens here, but... Again, it's good news on the injury report. There's only two guys didn't practice yesterday, so.
How have you been feeling this week?
Has it
been getting a little more
nerve-wracking
for you?
I've been up and down. Like, when I'm here, it's funny. When I'm at work, mm-hmm. I'm nervous. When I'm at home, I'm just like, yeah, let's just go. Let's just do it. Like, as soon as I get in my car, all my nerves go away. I'm listening to music. I'm like, yeah, they'll be fine. It'll be great. It'll be a great game. It'll be super fun. And they'll win for once. And, you know. They'll finally get over that hump. And then when I'm here, I'm like listening to all the sound and all mm-hmm. and looking at all the old games. Like this morning in prep for tomorrow, I was getting some highlights from 13 Seconds. And I have never, ever rewatched or re-listened to any of the calls of 13 mm-hmm. Seconds. And that alone just scared the crap out of me. And I'm like on an edge now. Like it's fluctuating with me. Like that's, I don't know what it is, but it's just like, it's getting to the point of the Ravens game where I'm like, okay, let's just get to Sunday. It's not been like that all week, but I'm getting to that point where I just want it to be 6:30, because I know on Sunday at noon it's going to take,
oh man,
it's going to take 24 hours to get to 6 o'clock. Like, not looking forward to that part of it.
That's going to be the worst. That will be the worst. I am like very cool.
Yeah.
Last week, as the week went on, I was like, Monday, it was exciting. It was the matchup I wanted because I wanted a rematch. I thought the Bills matched mm-hmm. up better.
I get
Not
that,
great,
yeah.
But it was better than week 4. And then as the week went on, I was like, ooh, I don't love this. All right, let's go. And you know, I mentioned it yesterday with Aaron Quinn. I expected once the game had kicked off, I would relax. I'm working the whole thing. Let's go. And it was terrible. I had a stomach ache. I was not in a good headspace by any means. This week has been different. I have just been the same temperature, the same heart rate the whole time about it. I've watched a lot of previous championship games, not even Bills championship games. Like I've mm-hmm. talked a lot about how in this playoff run, I've watched a lot of just old playoff games, full playoffs, what have you. I've watched a lot of stuff on like Peyton Manning's career in the playoffs, Brett Favre's career in the playoffs, what have you. And I've been saying it a lot. It's not really founded in any kind of science because it's just a feeling, but it feels different this year for me. Where in the last 2 years, it was a lot of, I think they're running out of gas, I'm getting worried, I don't think they've got it this year, what have you. This year's completely different. And I look at a Chiefs team who is not great at stopping the run compared to Denver and Baltimore. They were the 3 and the 1, respectively, in stopping the run. And the Bills still had well above 55% success rate when running the ball. And then you look at who the Bills didn't have in that first matchup against Kansas City. Spencer Brown, who I think next year is going to have an all-pro campaign at right tackle. He has completely announced himself to the NFL world as one of the best right tackles. Deion Dawkins is great. And George Karlaftis is not a great run defender. They didn't have Spencer Brown this last game, last time around in Week 11. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. They are one of the worst teams when it comes to covering the tight end. Who did the Bills not have last time? Dalton Kincaid. Now they've got Kincaid and Knox there. Mm-hmm. And then Shakir is playing at an incredible pop right now. He's got 13 targets, 12 catches, no drops.
Yeah, it's basically like the first, 5 weeks of the season where he didn't drop anything.
Yeah, where it was just automatic.
Yeah. I also think that part of my kind of vibe going into this game, I don't know why, but it hasn't really hit me yet that it's the AFC Championship game. I don't know if anyone else is feeling like that, but I just think of this for some reason as a divisional game again, because mm-hmm. it's been so many years since the Bills have been back to the AFC Championship game. And and it's a weird feeling. I can't really describe it. Like, the more I'm thinking about it, the more it's starting to hit me. But like, the Bills win this game, they go to the Super Bowl. And I think that is a whole different level of nervousness and stress. Mm-hmm. But none of that is kind of in the picture for me yet. And I wonder too, like, if that's in the minds of some of the players, because I read a thing this morning that I think it was 43 players on the Chiefs roster have all played in at least one AFC Championship game before.
I think it's 14
Bills. 14 Bills have played in one AFC Championship game before. That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of by design, I guess, because if you think about it, the Bills did kind of shed a lot of the old names. They, not necessarily just veterans, but just guys that have been on this team for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is a good thing, because you can kind of say, okay, like, let's get ourselves right here. What we had was not working. Let's keep the pieces that are and move on. Another part of that is you now have everyone coming in, or people that are coming in with a fresh mindset, a fresh slate of like, hey, this is my first time here. Think of like Keon Coleman or even Dalton Kincaid, second year, sophomore season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is their first taste of the NFL playoffs. Well, not necessarily for Kincaid, but for Coleman, it's his first taste of the NFL playoffs. And he's going all the way to the AFC Championship game. Like, there's all these different things that kind of go into play here, I think. But one thing that's completely different about this Bills team than years past is it doesn't seem like any of these guys care about that. Like, Amari Cooper had a great quote yesterday talking about, you know, teams going to championships and things like that, and how you kind of just forget about everything else because you just need to do what the team needs you to do and keep going to work every day.
I also like that he mentioned too, like, of course guys will want like 10 to 20 targets in a game, but like, sometimes it doesn't matter. You just want to win the game.
Sometimes it doesn't need to happen. Sometimes the team doesn't need that. And that's such an interesting quote for me. Because if, you know, it feels like most of the team is kind of having that same mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really powerful. I think that's really infectious in a good way. And it's something that we haven't seen really from this Bills team before. Sure, they've been in the stage of, you know, everyone doubted us and look, here we are. But mm-hmm. that's past. That was years ago now. That was back in 2020. That was back in 2021. And Now it's the point of, okay, you're expected to be here. Go out there and prove it. Because you know you can be here, you know you can do it, and then go do it. And I think that's kind of more powerful than the fact of like, oh, no one expected us to be here. Like, think of like what the Commanders are going through right now. Theirs is legitimate, no one expected us to be here, and that's fine because they're it's a rookie year quarterback in a year where you weren't even expected to make the playoffs.
They won what, 4 games last year?
Yeah, and they and then what flipped it to was it 12?
They won 12 games this year. Yeah,
so it's you have a time and a place for that, and I'm glad that the Bills are really really pushing past that because it didn't feel like they were pushing past the whole nobody expects us to be here sort of thing up until like the past year or two. But now it feels real because you have all these new guys. You have all these guys who haven't been here before and they're all working cohesively together on the fact of, guys, we know we can do this. Let's go out there and do it, right? It's the confidence that that brings.
Yeah, there has been a different attitude, I think, across the board for the whole team. McDermott's kind of gotten the whole like the brunt of it, and I don't mean that negatively, but most fans, I think, have sensed a difference in his personality and how he's talking to people, laughing a lot more when it comes to
his dad joke of the day.
Yeah, you know, it's even little stuff like me, like with post game. I work post game. A lot of it is kind of you're waiting for McDermott to jump on because then we can kind of start moving. The train can start moving. Start taking breaks. The whole thing. And you know, there were times where you were waiting like 45 minutes for him. You're like, all right, dude, where are you?
Yeah.
Now, it feels like he's waiting for Allen to wrap up so that he can go talk.
Yeah,
and
right.
And sure, they're winning a lot, so that changes a lot of things. They win all the time. This is not a team that is dealing with 9-8 seasons and this happened to be a spontaneous, surprising 13-win season. They win double-digit games every year.
Right. I mean, if you look, they
flip between 11 and 13 wins.
They haven't had under 10 wins since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad year. I didn't realize 2018. I forgot how
that was the legitimate like, okay, we're rebuilding. We're gonna get back up.
Yeah, like you make the playoffs, you break the drought, and then I don't know why I just kind of forget that year existed.
I barely acknowledge 2018, which is of course Allen's rookie year. But I'm like, no,
right.
it was his rookie year. The whole roster was kind of building.
But I mean, even then too, you haven't had under 10 wins. Like you had 10 wins in 2019, then you had 13, 11, 13, 11, 13, and you know, there's a lot of people who would probably say you should have had 14 this year. I mean, granted, you played your backups against the Patriots at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So that did change things, but nobody really cares about that because the Patriots ended up making the Patriots things worse because then they don't get the first overall pick. But I mean, like you said, this is a team that's used to winning, but it's winning in a different way. If that makes sense.
They look like, more like the Chiefs.
Yeah. They look more like, all right, cool, taken care of, let's move on. But it's not the oh, we're just waiting for the playoffs. It's the...
I'd argue kind of is.
Well,
they're playing playoff football constantly, which is limit the mistakes, get wins, get turnovers.
Oh, you're saying like in-game.
Yeah, like I think they are operating consistently as a playoff team.
Because I'm thinking like the outside factor. Like the week leading up to the next game, it's like, oh, yeah, here we are. We're playing. Oh, who are we playing this week? Oh, cool. The 49ers? Cool.
Okay. Yeah, you mean just like it's the business-like approach.
Yeah. Like you didn't really have that this year, whereas I feel like in years past it maybe sort of felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in-game, you're right. They are playing a playoff style of football because it's mistake-free. It's what can get us the points, what can make us control the game the best way. And that's how the best teams do it, whether it be regular season or the playoffs. And if that's what the Bills can continue to do from now on, then – sure. All you got to do now is get over this hurdle. You got to get over
it. It's the Chiefs.
It's not the hurdle being the AFC Championship game. It's the hurdle being the team you're playing. Because this would have been the same if it would have been the wild card round. You know, like somehow if the Bills and Chiefs matched up in the wild card round, we'd still be having the same conversation of just get past them and then figure everything else out. Because that's really all it is at this point. And I do feel like they can do it this year, but I'm nervous saying that. And I don't know why. Like, is it the past scar tissue or what?
But. Yeah, I think it's just past scar tissue. I think the only thing that makes me nervous is not – I don't think the team can do it. I think they can. I think they've proven this year they are different. It's more how important this game feels. We've talked about a lot this year – or this week is that 2020 kind of felt so fresh and new for a lot of us. You know, it's the first time that they were legitimately relevant since the early 90s.
What was the happy to be here feeling?
And there was a little bit of that happy to be here feeling. And while you made the playoffs the year prior, it was sort of this stunning, oh, the Bills can score a lot. And their quarterback went from, like, he's good, maybe. He's something. He's a weapon, too. He's just a great quarterback. And then all of a sudden you're in the AFC Championship. You know, it's a close game against the Colts and the Ravens. You had big moments there, but the fans weren't in the stands, so it was a little bit of this weird feeling. And then you were there. And then the last 3 years has been divisional round exits, mm-hmm. whether it be to Kansas City, to Cincinnati, and Kansas City again. Now you've got them again in an AFC Championship game in which they have not looked great the last 2 years. You have beaten them regularly in the regular season.
Handily, too, in some cases.
I think the thing that makes me most nervous is just how important this is, though, for I think McDermott, I think Allen, I think the Bills organization as a whole. I don't want to like sound negative, but I think it was the same thing, and I know Mike Shelp has brought this up, too, of you know as big of a win as the Ravens win could be, it could all go away a week from then. This Sunday, where if you don't get past the Chiefs, does that Ravens win all of a sudden get kind of shuffled to the side a little bit like the perfect game because of mm-hmm. what 13 seconds became?
I feel like that might be kind of – I think that's a kind of a recurring theme
mm-hmm.
because every – like you just said, I mean the perfect game kind of gets overshadowed by the fact that 13 seconds happened a week later. And I feel like – so I feel like every year we kind of have this thought of like, oh, well, what's going to get forgotten this year? What game or what week – like, what few weeks are going to get forgotten because something crazy happens in the playoffs and you lose? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there's so many things that get forgotten because of 13 seconds, because of the Bengals' loss, and because of even last year's, too. Like, there were a lot of moments last year where it felt like if you get the Chiefs here, everything's fine. And all of those moments kind of get forgotten because of the fact that you lost to the Chiefs in Buffalo, in Orchard Park. And so I don't think that that's necessarily, like, specific to this game. But I think in a season sense. But I think in a franchise sense, and if you're looking at careers mm-hmm. for Allen and McDermott and guys like that, that's where it's kind of this overarching thing of, like, a lot of things can get overshadowed if you don't win this game. Not necessarily this year, but from now and for the future.
Yeah.
Because if you're looking at this, if Mahomes wins this game, he becomes the first quarterback to defeat the same quarterback more than three times without mm-hmm. the other quarterback getting a win first.
Mm-hmm.
He's 3-0 right now against Allen. If he gets one more, he'll be the first quarterback in the playoffs. He'll be the first quarterback to ever do that. Also, he'll beat Tom Brady. He's tied with Tom Brady right now for the most touchdowns against a similar opponent in the playoffs. Brady has 8 touchdowns all time in the playoffs against the Jaguars. Mahomes has 8 touchdowns all time against the Bills in the playoffs.
Ew.
So he's going to beat that. He's got to throw one to beat Brady there. So
if he wins Sunday, he passes Montana for most playoff wins.
Oh, jeez. All right, wait. We got to bring this back. We went down the negative trail.
There's a few things here that are coming up.
But there's a lot for everything that there is for Mahomes to beat. There's that much and more for the Bills and Allen to beat. I mean, you beat the stigma of you can't beat the Chiefs. You save the nation from another Chiefs Super Bowl.
There we go. There we go.
Like, the world is counting on you right now. Aside from a small area in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kansas City, well, actually, I don't know how big the city is, but maybe it's not that small.
It's solid. Yeah, it's not bad.
It's a decent size.
But it's not small, Chicago.
No. But a decent sized area in Missouri is the only thing rooting against you. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is on your side.
Maybe, would you even say the state of Kansas is rooting for the Bills?
Yeah.
I'm tired
of course.
The
I mean, Patriots fans are rooting for the Bills.
Are they, though?
I don't think so.
I've seen clips. Oh. I've seen tweets. There are Patriots fans.
They may to preserve their dynasty.
Yep.
Because there is the feeling of, are the Chiefs going to pass us immediately after we're done?
You even have Miami fans. Granted, they're a little more devious in theirs, but they want the Bills to make it, so then they lose in the Super Bowl and go 0-5 in the Super Bowl.
By the way, yes, Patrick Mahomes and Joe Montana are currently tied for 16 playoff wins. So if Mahomes wins on Sunday, he'll have gotten 17. And both the Bills and Chiefs, just on early betting,
mm-hmm.
would be the favorites against either Philadelphia or Washington, whoever wins in the NFC. So likely looking at an 18th playoff win. And then it's just Brady. We're already kind of getting there where it's – which is another thing, too. We're getting there in their careers where they're no longer the fun young guys. they're the veterans.
Yeah, which is kind of a, like, you, it's a blink and you miss it sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you go from their rookies to, whoa, we're 7 years into their careers.
It just, it feels, 6 years into their careers. It feels so massive. We all kind of knew it would. It's not surprising. I'm not, you know, inventing fire there by saying it. It just, it feels so massive, so important to everyone's legacy. Everyone in this game has something they're fighting for. For the Chiefs, I heard on ESPN today, we'll see if we play that clip back as well, talking about, you know, Mahomes kind of trying to be the Jordan of the NFL, because he did something, Jordan did something in the NBA that hadn't been done since the 60s, which was a three-peat. The NFL's never had that. Mm-hmm. That could be a crowning achievement for Mahomes. No, you didn't beat Brady in the playoffs, but you did do something he never could.
Right.
You got three Super Bowls. And you kind of did it with teams that many would argue was not as talented as maybe your earlier iterations of your teams.
Oh, definitely this year and last year.
Reed is getting there arguably to the point of, are you the greatest coach of all time? Because of what you did with the Eagles. No, you didn't win a Super Bowl, but
you were really good.
You kept going to NFC Championships. Mm-hmm. You made it. You ultimately lost to the Patriots. But then you go to Kansas City, and you win three Super Bowls.
You would
win four.
Who's still ahead of him at this point?
Reed?
Yeah.
Man.
Because it doesn't feel like there's that many people.
It feels like maybe just Belichick.
Is he?
I'd go Belichick, just in terms of just career longevity, achievements, the whole thing.
Sure,
I'm
longevity.
Fine with that.
But, I mean, as soon as Brady left, things went downhill for the Patriots. And
Reed had some disastrous years
in
Philadelphia,
sure,
too.
But it wasn't just the fact that they went downhill. It's that they were never going to get better. Like, they never looked like they were going to get better.
Well, I will say, Reed was fired after a 4-12 season. Which
True.
This
okay maybe the jury's still out.
Current day, it feels insane to say that Andy Reid was 4-12. They were like 8-8 and then 4-12.
Yeah,
and two straight years of no playoffs. So I mean, like, he's had his down years too, like Belichick did. That's the last thing we've seen of Belichick.
Maybe it is recency bias then.
Where with Reid, the recent thing we've seen is like, oh, they can't lose. Cool, that's love to see that.
Right,
and then you go to the Bills, and you know, it's even small things to me too, of like guys setting up their careers. You know, Allen, I think we all kind of definitively assume is a Hall of Fame player. You know, when it's all said and done, will be. But Sean McDermott, a potentially Hall of Fame coach,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, his career going and stuff like that. If they go 4-0 in the playoffs this year, he's going to have a winning playoff record for probably the next few years. They win wild card games like it's their day job. You know, now we're winning divisional games, or at least we have. Allen, I've mentioned. What about guys like Spencer Brown? Or Terrell Bernard, who are relatively young in their careers, mm-hmm. and putting
Christian
up
Benford.
Really good stats. Christian Benford are putting up good stats and can maybe start racking up, you know, accolades because, well, you're on a Super Bowl winning team. Mm-hmm. There's a few guys I think of that, like, you know, that. McDermott, though, I tweeted it out today, too, because he, unsurprisingly, because it's just at this rate, is not named one of the finalists for Coach of the Year. I don't want to say I'm a McDermott apologist. I do have those tendencies at times, though, with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like him to earn some damn respect in this room.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I don't mean this room, but like,
no.
What was Dan Campbell's expectations that he has to be the favorite for Coach of the Year? Your expectations were win the Super Bowl. Good for you. You were the one seed. You did exactly what everyone expected.
And then you lost.
And then you lost. And I get it. It's a regular season award. But then you lost. McDermott's mm-hmm. expectations, I don't want to say like by everybody, was that you weren't going to be as good. But any talk show was, well, this is the year the Dolphins are going to do it. This is the year the Jets are going to do it. Yeah, the Bills are in a transition year. I don't know what they're going to do. They won 13 games. You already argued it. If the one seed was still available, they play all their stars against the Patriots, they go 14-2 or 14-3.
Mm-hmm.
They locked up the division in November. They're in the AFC Championship. I want him to get some respect, and a Super Bowl does that.
Yeah, I mean, the other candidates were, it was Dan Quinn.
Fine.
Dan Campbell.
No.
Andy Reid.
No, it's the same thing. What your expectations were to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
You're the one seed. Good for you.
Right. And you limped to a record of 15-2.
Dan Quinn and Kevin O'Connell. Those are my
yeah.
those are the
guys
two
are
that
fine.
I'm fine.
Right. But other
everyone
than that,
else, what were your expectations? Good. You met them. Good. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrates me to no end. And then we'll get to some of the awards as well. Got to take a quick time out here. 803-0550, the number two call. Alan, Jason, we'll get to you guys here after a quick timeout. We'll talk more on the Bills as well, especially in the 11 o'clock hour. Alex Brasky of Batavia Daily will join us at 11. Sal Capaccio at 11:30. Vibe check, as this is mine and Josh's last day here on the mid-morning run. for this week. Where are you feeling on a Thursday for Bills Chiefs, the AFC Championship game? Love to hear your thoughts again. 803-0550, the number to call. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.